Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secret of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They are the specialists that keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They have the algorithms and the brains to know how to put all that together to help steer you clear the crowds and make your next vacation awesome. Also, just drop by touringplans.com today when you're planning the next vacation, because you got a lot of free tools over there as well. Reviews of all the hotels you might want to stay in. Actually, even room views from each one of the rooms in the hotels. Menus at the restaurants and more. Drop by, support the folks who support us. It's a great resource over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1066 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and I know we're wishing that it was last Monday. That's right, last Monday, everybody was kicking back, maybe barbecuing and enjoying Labor Day. But you know what? We got to earn next year's Labor Day starting today. You know, we got to get those Mondays out of the way, knock them down, and the best way to do that, and especially now that it's football season, it's not so bad because you can kick back on a Monday night with a little football on the TV, but it is time to talk Disney. We love talking Disney, and we love having great friends of the show every Monday come on the show to share some great trip reports. And we're doing just that today, joining me from a place where, well, football is kind of a big deal. We're going down to Dallas, Texas with Maddie. Welcome to the show, Maddie.
Hi, thank you guys.
So Tony Romo's still out, I'm guessing. The back hasn't magically healed in the last little bit of time.
Far as I know, we were talking at church on Sunday and trying to figure out what we were going to do. But I guess Dak is apparently supposed to be very, very good. So we'll cross our fingers and ride the season out again.
That's right. He was tough in college, man, down at Mississippi State. Man, he could play some ball. So I think you guys are in good hands. But let me ask you this, because you mentioned church and football now. I know,
yes,
you know, football is a big deal in Texas. I get that because Chase Daniel, my favorite college quarterback, is out of Texas as well, South Lake, I believe. And do you guys pray for your quarterbacks at church? I mean, is it that important? Like, did you send up one for Tony Romo? Because it really can't hurt.
Well, I will say my church has actually had quarterbacks come and preach at church before. Like, Tony Romo actually came to our church and spoke. The quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, came and spoke at our church. And just name dropping, I went to Texas A&M and had class with Ryan Tannehill at one point in time. But yeah, no, it's a big deal. And sometimes we do sit around the TV and pray for a quarterback.
That's awesome. Hey, man, that's what it's all about. And I guess we can say gig 'em, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk some Disney here. We wanted to kind of focus, well, first of all, let's kind of get your background, because you are a huge Run Disney fan. You know, you've kind of been bitten by the bug, and you've spread that to your entire family. We were talking before we started recording how, you know, you wanted to go down and run a full marathon. Your first full marathon was in 2014. But you not only, you know, brought your family, which is hard enough to get a lot of people just to get their family to come down and cheer and watch. Yeah. You're telling me that you got your family to come down and run a full marathon with you. That is crazy.
Yeah. So I had this dream where I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to run a marathon. And my husband, being the supportive husband that he was like, well, if you run it, I'm not going to have you run it without me, because he's very competitive about such things. And so we both decided that we were going to run the marathon. So, of course, we tell our family. And I'm sitting at work one day and I text my brother and he's like, I have an app for that. I think I'll run the marathon as well. And we're like, okay.
Wait. Your brother's saying that you just need an app to run a full marathon, man. I did it all the wrong way.
He had like a training plan on an app or something. So he's like, sure, I'll run the marathon. So my parents actually originally ended up signing up for the 10K. And then my brother, myself, and my husband were signed up for the marathon. Well, in their training, they actually got to a 10K super fast. So they were like, well, why don't we just switch to the marathon and we'll all do it together? So then all five of us ended up going out that January and running the marathon together. And my brother smoked all of us, even though he ended up hating running. Like, I don't think he's run a day since.
It'll do that. You'll either be hooked or you'll never.
My parents actually beat me.
That's what'll happen, though. Your brother's right. Like, you'll either fall in love and have to do the next one, like, the next day, or it's like, you know, you'll never even buy another pair of sneakers again.
Exactly. That was my brother's experience. But, yeah, so ever since then, we've been really, we just love the Run Disney races. We ended up doing the Dumbo Double Dare the same year as the marathon. The following year, my mom and I actually convinced my mother-in-law and my little sister-in-law to come out to Princess with us. And then we did Wine and Dine, which we're going to talk about today. And then this last year, my mom and I did Tinkerbell over the Mother's Day weekend. And we're already signed up for Coast to Coast Star Wars next year. So we're a lovely Run Disney family.
Yes, you are. Lots of bling there, man. I can tell you that. So
absolutely.
You got to get a lot of metal racks for that many races. So let me ask you this though too, because
thankfully my husband actually makes my metal racks for me.
Yeah,
so
that's what you got to do when you get that many. Now, so before we get into the Wine and Dine from last year, because we wanted to talk about that, people are kind of right in just the meat of their training for Wine and Dine 2016. You know, we're about 60 days out, a couple months. We're going to all be down there running, and it's a great time. You know, the weather hopefully is starting to cool off just a little bit where everybody is. But before that, you know, you've done all these races. You've raced on both coasts. You've done Princess. You've done Marathon Weekend. You've done Wine and Dine, you know, out in Disneyland as well. You know, what have you learned maybe for somebody that's just getting into Run Disney, you know, just in general, that maybe we haven't talked about on the podcast in the past, because you've been there, done that, especially with big groups. So what's something that kind of stands out to you as far as the total Run Disney experience?
Yeah, well, the thing that we love about Run Disney is obviously you've got the Disney magic, you know, that happens. I've run some of my best races, not necessarily fastest, but most enjoyable races at Disney. But there's just something about the people. Like, we dressed up last year for the Dumbo Double Dare as Wally and Eva, my husband and I. And as we're running on the course, you know, there's people behind us and they realize who we are and they just yell, "Rogue Robots!" You know, like, you just have awesome people that do random stuff like that. It's just a big community. And so as you guys are preparing and going down to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, whatever Run Disney race you guys are doing, just have the expectation that you're going to have to be a little bit flexible, because you don't necessarily know exactly what to expect for your first time, and you might have a lot of nerves. But just really feed off the energy of the people around you. The people are incredible. They're always very helpful, even if, you know, this is your first time or your 10th time. Everybody's willing to help you out. And just have so much fun. Don't put so much pressure on it, because then I feel like it ruins the experience a little bit.
That's a great tip, because, you know, I'm kind of like your husband. I'm very competitive. You know, like, I want to make sure that I, you know, run the fastest or the furthest or, you know, whatever. And I know there's really not anybody that I'm competing against, because I'm friends with everybody. I don't care if I beat them. They're my friends. But I'm just like, I got a sickness, I guess, from playing sports growing up. But, you know, I think you made a great point there, that it's, you don't have to run your best race. And actually, I was joking with my good friend Phil in Indy a couple weekends ago that, you know what, when you take your time in a marathon or half marathon or Run Disney race, when you break it down, you know, to dollars per minute, if you're flying through that course, man, you're really getting gypped. You know, you need to slow down and take it all in. Yeah. So, you know, have that kind of an attitude. So let's hop into Wine and Dine weekend from last year. Of course, it was a very unusual weekend because of the storms that came on right before the half marathon that night, causing probably a lot of changes this coming year. But let's walk through the circumstances. Who'd you go down with and where'd you stay and stuff like that?
Yeah, so it was my husband and I and my mom and dad. My mom and dad are DVC members at the Grand Floridian. And I think we had the nicest room that I've ever had at Disney that weekend. We ended up going in and my mom got a two-bedroom villa. And then just going into it, we mentioned this before the podcast, but my dad had actually hurt his back on a trip. And so going into it, I was personally really nervous because I was nervous for him. I didn't know how he was going to be able to handle the race. So the fact that the race got cut short was actually a little bit of a godsend for us. But the way that we kind of attack the weekend on a usual basis is we go in on like a Friday. And we'll do the expo, we'll settle in, we'll kind of, you know, get our bearings a little bit. And then Saturday is going to end up usually actually being a park day for us. We're a little bit weird about that. I wouldn't suggest it for most people unless you can really pace yourself, because being on your feet like that before a race, we found out the hard way, not a very good idea. So just pace yourself if you're going to go into the parks and things like that. For us, the race ended up actually being at night. And so we were actually at Epcot that morning, and we made sure that we scheduled like a hard cutoff time where we went back and we got a nap and then went into the evening fresh. Don't have to worry about that this year since it's a morning race. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of where we were, how we started.
So are you excited or disappointed that they changed the Wine and Dine to a morning race as opposed to an evening race?
I have really mixed feelings about it. I really enjoyed the night race. I always usually run in the evenings just because of my work schedule. And so having a night race like that was kind of exciting. And I was looking forward to having all the lights on the course, you know, seeing the light up puppets that they had, the things at Animal Kingdom that we ended up not being able to see. But then we also had the Osborne lights, right? So like that for me was like the coup de grace of the whole race. I like walked through there. I kind of like doubled back down the course maybe a couple times to soak it all in. So having that ambiance was very awesome, personally. So I'm going to miss that. And I always have wanted to run the Tower of Terror race, but unfortunately that one's not on the docket anymore. So the morning races are always fun, and then you're able to, you know, just enjoy time in the parks and things like that. But I will miss the night races.
Yeah, you made a good point, though, about those night races, which unfortunately we don't really have to worry about anymore. Talking strategically how to plan it out, really don't have to think about it. But, you know, I'll tell you that the first time I went down for, I guess it was the inaugural Wine and Dine, we did some podcast meetups, and one of our friends, Jackie and Keith, had written a book called Attention to Detail, which you can still get on Amazon, so check it out. They did we were met at the Contemporary, but we were in the whole monorail loop, and we did a scavenger hunt. And I think it started at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Saturday of the half marathon. And so, you know, of course, we broke up into teams. There were probably about 50 of us there from the podcast, and like, you know, 10 different teams of five. And we're running around to the Grand Floridian, to the Polynesian, to the Contemporary, in front of the Magic Kingdom. You didn't have to go in, but, you know, where security was. It was crazy. Like, what was I doing? You know, like you talked about having to have discipline. I probably put, you know, and it was super hot that afternoon. I probably put, you know, 5 or 6 miles on my legs just doing the scavenger hunt, which was so much fun. But it's not a good idea, because all I did was grab something to eat. And then it was like, okay, now let's go run 13 in the heat and humidity, you know, a few hours later. So you're right. I think the biggest thing is, even if you're there for morning races, when you're running a challenge, kind of a lot of folks are doing the Lumiere's challenge at Wine and Dine this year. You just have to have, like you said, the word is discipline. And it's so hard to have that at Disney, because we don't get there enough. You know, you want to run around and have fun. I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my family is like very gung-ho amusement park people. We want to ride all the rides multiple times. So when we first went out for marathon weekend, we had to plan our trip around my brother going back to college at that point. And he had to leave pretty much the day after the marathon to do that. So all of our touring had to be done before the marathon. Well, by the time we get to the marathon, our feet already hurt before we even crossed the start line. Like, we did not plan that out very well. So subsequent races, we've learned our lesson. And that would just be my caution to everybody else planning out their trips.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And, you know, I'm actually in a kind of a pickle this year because I was, talking with my good buddy Scott. We're getting the rooms booked and everything for marathon weekend this coming year. And actually, I shouldn't say this because I'm a travel agent, but I booked the wrong weekend for my own family. I booked everybody else on the right weekend, but unfortunately, I booked ours because I didn't even look at the calendar. I thought it was the second weekend. Well, it's the first weekend in January this year. So what we found out was that I think that since I'm doing Dopey, the 5K is on Thursday. Well, that's the day that the kids go back in our school district. So my wife and I, you know, obviously we'll be in Disney for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we're thinking, well, we're already on Christmas break since we, you know, we go back on Thursday. Well, we won't be there. So now we're back. We've already backed it up to we've decided we're going down now on December 30th, you know, so we could be there for New Year's Eve. So I think I'm going to be kind of, I've started to think about this, that I have to really be disciplined because, you know, those days, especially like New Year's Eve, you can stay in Epcot all day and, you know, tend to walk around a lot or at least stand. And, you know, I think you got to take care of yourself in those days leading up to something like a Dopey or a full marathon or a half, because I don't know, I've never been there except for like the weekend, you know, getting there on a Thursday, right, doing the races. I'm a little worried about, you know, turning it into a week because, you know, my family's going to want to go have fun. They're not running a full marathon.
Well, what I will say is my parents actually, to help kind of combat leg fatigue, they both had some knee issues and they bought these like bands. I don't even know what they're called, but I think they're like $8 a piece wherever they bought them from. And they have like a little piece that goes underneath the bottom of your kneecap on the front, and then it just wraps around your calf. And supposedly it really helps. My mom has to have them whenever we go tour the parks before a race. So you might want to look into that. I honestly don't remember what they're called, but you can probably Google it and find it, and it might be a really big help to y'all.
I'll guarantee you one of our listeners knows. So let me know.
There
Mike,
you go.
guarantee you. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com, or just put it on the Facebook group today. So now you mentioned earlier you guys ran as the Wall-E characters, and in this race, it looks like you guys ran as the Toy Story characters. So tell us about running in costume, because I got to get my head around this, because apparently, due to all the great money we raised for Give Kids the World during the 12-hour live show, Scott now will be running in some kind of a costume that we have no control over. So how's this all work out for you guys?
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of really great Etsy shops online that have some tech material running costumes. And my mom ends up usually buying her costumes off of that. They're a little expensive for my budget, but I also am a creative type and I taught myself how to sew. And so I end up actually making all of my husband and I's costumes. So my mom ended up running as Bo Peep for Wine and Dine. My dad ended up running as Woody, and they both bought their costumes, and they just find that tech material, make sure that it's sweat wicking. My dad as Woody actually had like the full hat and everything, and he ended up carrying it most of the most of the race. But then whenever we would like stop to take pictures, like as Toy Story characters, you have to stop in front of Toy Story Midway Mania and take a picture, obviously. So like when we would stop to take pictures, he'd put on his hat and then he'd just take it off to run. What I ended up doing is my husband and I go to the thrift stores and we look for really cheap tech material shirts. We shop thrift stores all the time. I think my husband actually just found like a golf t-shirt from Nike for like $13 the other day. Nice. But then we take those, and I found iron. There's this type of material where you can actually fuse one fabric on top of another fabric. So I buy all the colors that I need, and then I end up cutting out all the shapes to make the costume that I'm doing. So like for Buzz Lightyear, I like, you know, cut out a circle for his little red button for his wings. And then I cut out the little ovals for like all the things that he says. And then you just cut it out. You put the paper backing on the back, and then you iron it on, and it sticks. It's awesome. So you don't even have to know how to sew in order to be able to make your own costume. And then I found blow up wings for Buzz Lightyear on Amazon. I love Amazon.
Oh, no. Hang on. What do you search? Do you search Buzz Lightyear blow up wings? I mean, is there really? I mean, seriously.
Yes. Yeah. And then when we were at Princess, the whole reason why we ended up deciding to do Toy Story characters was because I found the Buzz Lightyear Nerf gun at Disney World while we were at Princess. And I'm like, I'm using this, I'm buying it, I'm running with it whenever I do Buzz Lightyear. So I had my little light up Nerf gun without the Nerf darts because I think Disney would frown upon that.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'd totally be shooting other lizards. I'm just saying, I'd be knocking them out.
But it lit up, and then it also had the like pew pew sound. So like people, you know, along the course would go Buzz Lightyear. And then I'd like raise up my little Nerf gun and go pew pew. And it would make the sounds, and it was a lot of fun. It was just a really inexpensive way. My husband actually ended up running as Rex. So I actually made a little dinosaur tail. Like, I mean, it was only about 12 inches long, maybe. And it went on his field belt. So it just attached to his field belt via Velcro. And then I figured out how to, like, make dinosaur humps, ridges on, like, you know, how Rex has, where you can see his spine. And then he wore a green hat, and I literally just cut out, like, teeth that looked like teeth and eyes, and I safety pinned them to the hat, and that was his costume. And it was really cheap. It was awesome.
So have you always had good, results running these distances with costumes? Because, you know, I see some people that, like you say, they have tech material, they're fine because it's just a modified running outfit. But I see some people that, you know, it's like, I love their costume, but I feel so bad for them because it seems like, you know, it's become a burden for them at mile four, you know, and I know they got, you know, 9 miles to go and a half, and they're going to try to haul themselves all the way to the finish line in this stuff.
Yeah, I did. We went for the Disneyland half marathon when we did the Dumbo Double Dare. I went as Captain America, and I hauled a pizza pie tin as my shield. I like painted it as my shield, and I was really nervous running with it at first because that was the first time I did like a really big costume, but it ended up really not being that bad. Like, I think I maybe switched arms a couple of times, and it hangs here at my desk now. And so I would just caution people, like, if you think about that, like, just, you know, if you want to practice with like carrying something, practice with your water bottle. Like, bring a water bottle with you that's a couple of pounds and run with those. And then do not be afraid to just ditch things mid-race if they end up being an issue. Thankfully, we've never had to do that. We're pretty cautious about what costumes we have and how we do that. But just don't be afraid to throw in the towel on a costume.
Yeah, I've always heard, you know, I hear this all the time on running podcasts. Like, if you're going to dress in a costume, make sure you do at least one training run, like in full on costume. I mean, you know what happened to me if I ran around my neighborhood in a costume? Maybe.
Most of my costumes, like, they really are only going to last one race. So I just practice with like water bottles, or I do something else, you know, and then if it works, great. If it doesn't, oh well, it's not a big deal.
So now this weekend was, you know, it was a little crazy because the marathon was cut short with the weather. And, you know, we were talking before we started recording that this was actually a pretty challenging race, even at 7 or 6 miles. You know, I saw a lot of people getting ill. Just the humidity was stifling. And, you know, what did you think? Did you think Disney handled it well? I mean, this was a very unique situation they hadn't encountered before.
Yeah, it was a little weird at first because sometimes you couldn't hear the announcement, so you would just like see everybody start moving and you're like, I don't know what's going on. But you know, through word of mouth, like I said, the people at Disney races are incredible. So through word of mouth, you know, people would be like, oh, this is happening and we need to go over here. I honestly don't know what they would have done if we hadn't been starting at the ESPN Wide World of Sports, because that was where we ended up being able to take shelter. And the only thing that I would have said that they could have done better was just a little bit more communication. Like, it was all through word of mouth. They finally ended up getting a megaphone, like, you know, 30 minutes into waiting and announcing it to people. They tried to make almost like a game show out of it where they would talk to people in the field house and things like that. So I think they handled it okay. I I know that the reason why they ended up cutting it short was because there was actually another storm coming and they weren't going to be able to clear everybody through the course in time before that lightning storm came through. And supposedly lightning is a really big deal in Florida. Like, they have a lot of deaths by lightning, so they take it very seriously. So I think they did the best that they could. It got me to the after party sooner, so I was cool with that. But again, I also know that if it was my first half marathon and I had been really training for it, I would have been very disappointed. So I would just say again, you know, you never know what's going to happen at a race. It could be a Disney race. It could be somebody else's race, but you just got to be flexible and know that they're doing their best to keep you guys safe.
Yep. They kept us safe so we could run another day. That's the way I looked at it. You know,
exactly.
We had a pretty decent experience and got to, you know, never were in harm's way, I hope. You know, I don't think we were. I mean, other than the heat just about killing us all. But, I mean, what can they do about it? It almost got me a couple times in Tower of Terror where I thought I was going to meet my maker at about mile, you know, 10. It was bad.
Yes,
it was so
hydrate.
Hot.
Like, you really do need to hydrate. It's pretty hot here in Texas, so I don't know if you guys know that. So I'm used to running in the heat. I'm used to running in the humidity. But you have to, like, I have to pretty much almost double my water intake when I go on runs during the summer. So just be really cautious about that, and you guys be fine.
All right, well, let's hop away from Run Disney here for just a little bit for our folks that do not enjoy, you know, pounding the pavement. And you got a lot more in this trip. So one good thing about Wine and Dine is there's a lot going on this weekend. And you guys actually did the Christmas party after the race. So tell us about that experience.
Yes. So this was our first Disney party, so to speak. We had never gotten a chance to do this before. So we were just super excited. It was a little bit weird because it was November like 5th.
Yeah.
So none of us were really in the Christmas spirit yet, but this party definitely helped us do that. We ended up going right at 4 o'clock. And somehow through a loop in my Disney experience, we ended up getting fast passes, even though we only had the tickets for the Christmas party. I've checked, they've since closed that loop. But we got to end up riding a bunch of rides that we wanted to even before the party started. So we did that. We ate dinner. I don't even remember. We just got counter service, I think, right before the official party started. And then we did a lot of rides that we as, you know, the gung-ho amusement park e-ticket people don't normally do, like the TTA. And it was really cool because then we were able to just walk around and look at the concerts. We got to do the concerts. We got to walk around and look at all of the characters. The fireworks were incredible. I know Frozen has overtaken the park, but the whole thing where they light up the castle and it's, you know, with Anna and Elsa and all the Frozen characters, I got goosebumps. It was wonderful. the parade was like one of the coolest parades that I've seen. It ranks up there with Paint the Night. The thing about that parade that really got me was the smells. Like, they pump smells out of those floats. And, you know, the one passes by where they're like cooking cookies and it smells like cookies. I'm just like, oh, I want a cookie now. So it was just so much fun. We had a blast. My parents ended up leaving the park after the fireworks. And then my husband and I just kind of roamed around the park after that and did all the rides again, like Space Mountain and Splash Mountain, like, you know, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Like, it was a blast. It was one of the best nights that we've had at Disney in a long time.
Yeah, it is one of those weird feelings, though, when you celebrate one of the holidays down at Disney. Like right now, I mean, if you're on the Disney calendar, which, hey, we all are. We love Disney.
But yeah.
You know what? Hey, I should have told you Happy Halloween at the top of the show because
Halloween.
We've been doing Halloween parties for a week already down at Walt Disney World. But it is strange. Like you said, November 5th, I mean, you haven't even really started thinking about Thanksgiving yet. And here you are, you know, seeing, you know, Santa Goofy coming down Main Street and it's snowing, you know,
I know.
And it's 1,000 degrees.
We hosted a Halloween party, I think, 3 days before this trip at our house. So it was a little, like time warp right there for us. But it was so much fun.
But, you know, I'm one of those people, I really do enjoy Halloween and Christmas. I'm a really big Christmas fan. And you know what? I you know, I'll be guilty of listening to Christmas tunes way before Thanksgiving. And, you know, going to this party, though, kind of just gets you, it gives you that taste to really get, you know, you don't really go full on, you know, like, okay, it's Christmas time, you know, November 7th, you know, now that we've gone to the party. But it gives you a taste and it really gets you amped up for the season coming up because you know it's just right around the corner.
Absolutely. And in my family, we really look at Thanksgiving as the, you know, it's a way to prepare for Christmas in the fact that, you know, we're wanting to be thankful for all the things we have before we go into a season where, like, all you do is think about gifts and crazy parties and schedules and things like that. So it was just really nice to kind of like tie it all together with having a Christmas party right at the beginning of the season.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's wrap the show up with something I am so curious about. And it's going to help my good friend, Jocelyn, one of the lizards. She takes care of all. She's kind of like the mother lizard because she makes sure everything is squared away. She's got our dessert party all going for us for wine and dine this year, meets for marathon. So she was talking to me the other day, and she had a guest. She books travel with the Magic for Less on our team here, and she said that one of her guests was looking to do a scavenger hunt type activity on their vacation. It looks like you did just that for your husband on his birthday, right?
Yes. So my husband's birthday was about 3-ish days before we actually left for Disney. So I told him, like, all right. Every year he has me make him a pumpkin cheesecake. So I'm like, you're getting your pumpkin cheesecake, but don't expect anything else because you're going to have to wait for Disney. And so when we got to Disney, my parents actually left that Monday, but we didn't have to leave until the following day. So we had a whole day. My parents were like, look, DVC points, just stay in the hotel, have fun. So I was like, woo, this is exciting. So my husband is a pilot. Very big adventurer. We actually just got back from a backpacking trip a couple of weeks ago. He loves adventures. And one of our jokes is when we were flying together one time while he was working on some of his pilot and certification, we were coming in on final to land, and we just had this like awkward moment where we were like not doing checklists, but we were like still talking. And so I just started singing the Indiana Jones theme song. So every time, yeah, hey,
I see, if I'm flying with you, remember, I just started flying again. Don't distract the pilot. Don't start singing show tunes. Nothing, none of that in the cockpit, please.
Well, he always tells people he's in the pointy end of the arrow, so he doesn't want to crash as well. Well,
I like a pilot that's thinking of all of us that way. Thank you.
So the whole Indiana thing has been a running joke between the two of us. So what I did was I actually created a scavenger hunt. And it was kind of like a bingo card. And at the top of it, I said, hello, wannabe Indiana Jones. And I'm like, so Indiana has heard that you want to be an adventurer. Well, you have to complete, you know, certain number of points for each adventure. And then on the back of it, I have like 0 to 10. I'm like, come on, are you even trying to have an adventure? And then on, you know, the next ones, they just keep going up. And one of them is like, wow, you, with that kind of performance, you deserve your own stunt show. So I just really creatively came up with that. And it was a bunch of different things that had to do outside the parks, because we didn't really want to pay money to go in the park. But it was honestly one of the most fun days that we had. We ended up going and playing mini golf. We went over to the Tri-Circle D Ranch and saw the horses, which was something we had never done before. We went on a monorail tour, and we went and experienced Trader Sam's. We went looking for the five-legged goat in the Contemporary. We went to the Polynesian, obviously, and got a Dole Whip. Like, we just went and did a bunch of experiences that we had never done before. And then we got extra points if we found hidden Mickeys. And we ended up finishing out the scavenger hunt in Disney Springs. And a lot of people don't realize that there's actually a lot of free things to do in Disney Springs, because the stores kind of want to lure you into their establishments so that you can hopefully buy something. So, like, we went and tried, like, the salt scrubs at one of the places. We went to, there's a gluten-free bakery. I have to eat gluten-free. So we went there and we tried that. It was just, and we went and looked at them make a, the little glass things at Arabus Bros, because they do the blown glass ornaments. So we basically had about 25 different things on this bingo card, and he got points based on, you know, which one he ended up doing. I kind of weighted them for, like, the bigger ones, like going to Trader Sam's were like 5 points, and Tri-Circle D Ranch was 5 points. But, you know, if you, like, went to the lobby of the Contemporary, it was like 1. And it was just a fun, like, thing that we did, a fun game. he like got the most points that you can get because he is really good at finding hidden Mickeys. It's kind of scary. But it was just, it was so much fun, and it was definitely something that we'll always talk about.
I love hearing about stuff like that, though, because it takes it to the next level. You know, when you go down, you're fortunate enough to get to go, you know, more than most. And, you know, we're all thankful for that. But it's a great way to make those memories. You know, it doesn't always have to be having a dinner in Cinderella's castle or, you know, riding, Space Mountain, which that's all fun and good. But I bet you a lot of the memories, like you said, were at Tri-Circle D Ranch or getting some free stuff at Disney Springs, you know, getting, you know, just doing something you would not normally do. Like you said, setting that adventure out there and especially doing it together. I bet that was a fun day.
Absolutely. And like, if I were to, you know, encourage other people, I've always tried to do one thing that would make a trip, you know, stand out for my family. When we did the marathon, I made little bottle cap safety pin, you know, things like they have an up, but it said, you know, the Disney Adventure 2014, and then we put that on our backpacks. And, you know, for this trip, it was the scavenger hunt. And so I try to do like not something really extravagant, but just something that I know my family would really enjoy. Just to make the trip, you know, a little bit extra special. And it's a way to just inject your own Disney magic into it. And, you know, when you see your family, you know, kind of light up because you did something like that, it really makes it just 10 times better. And then it's something that you talk about because only your family was able to experience that.
Absolutely. You take something that, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of people have done over the years, you know, go down to Walt Disney World, but this is uniquely your own trip and your own memory. And, you know, I love that. So, well, Maddie, thanks for kicking off another week with us here. It's a great way for a Monday. You know, you got such a positive energy, a positive spirit, and good luck with the Kessel this coming year. I know you're going to try to take on both Star Wars races on both coasts.
Yes. And I do actually, if people want to follow me, we have a blog. It's aroundtheworldin80.com. And we post trip reports whenever we go to Disney up there.
And obviously you probably have a social media presence, so how can they find you there?
Yeah, my husband actually has an Etsy store, so our public account is for his Etsy store. It's Love Life Design Co. So just look for that on Instagram and Facebook, and we post the blog posts up on there, and you can just follow along.
All right, well, Maddie, hope to catch you in the corrals down there to run Disney events sometime soon, but I can't say I won't be in a costume because I have to. I have a requirement. But once I once I fulfill my obligation, I'll be in a lizard shirt and you'll be all dressed up. But, you know, thanks again for all the tips, all the great memories, and just for, you know, starting the week off the right way here by talking Disney. Hope to talk to you again here on the show soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
All righty. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. You need a good read here as we get into the fall. You know, it's a great time to sit on that front porch, get a, you know, nice iced tea and kick back with a good book. And one of the best books you can get as a Disney fan is The Wisdom of Walt, because you're going to learn lessons that Walt Disney left us in his park, you know, Disneyland, the original theme park. And he just left little nuggets there for us to learn how to live our lives a little bit better, how to be better people. And Jeff Barnes, the author, does an excellent job of pointing out these little pieces of Disneyland that can still teach us lessons today that Walt left behind. And it's going to help you truly with your career and your relationships. It's a great book. You can actually, you know, if you're a podcast fan, I would encourage you to grab it on audiobook. That way you can take it with you on your walks or your runs while you're doing housework and more. You can also just drop by Amazon and pick up a hard copy or soft cover. And again, just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. You can even get a personally signed copy. So check it out, thewisdomofwalt.com. We're also brought to you by touringplans.com. They've been keeping you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible for years, and they have great trip planning tools. Don't do anything for your next Disney vacation without dropping by today. Drop by touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And of course, join the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thanks so much for dropping in at the beginning of this, you know, we're almost mid-September already, but hey, who cares? It's football season. It's the best time of the year. So thanks again for dropping in. We'll be back again on Wednesday as we answer your listener questions. So for Maddie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.